to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Monday, February 26, 2024. Coming right up is the Book of Acts, chapter 17. Don't you dare miss it. Book of Acts is about babblers. People that know everything about nothing and nothing about everything. People that stand for nothing and fall for everything. And I'm going to just say it flat out. They're the majority. But we pray for everybody. It's critical to understand. We're all part of God's human family. That's in Acts chapter 17 too. Don't you dare miss it. Now, please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. And while you're doing that, please first consider your part in the many-membered body of Christ. The Companion Chapel is a registered nonprofit ministry. Help get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world simply by doing something like even just like and subscribe. Helps with the algorithms. It's not about me. It's about us, the human family. Just consider this like right now. Right now, this very second, you're probably the only one watching this. And God is watching you. He's watching what all his children do very attentively. There's 2.5 million people that visit the most popular pornography sites every minute. So I've been talking now for 2 minutes. That's 5 million people on these pornography sites. And one person, that's you. God's peculiar people. He loves his children. He wants his children back. They can only be reconciled through Lord Jesus Christ. You have a call, a calling to action. What are you sacrificing for the grace God has granted you? Even just a like and a subscribe to help with the algorithms to get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world. Or you can help support the Companion Chapel, and I'll send you one of these for a $10 bill, companionchapel.com. And please email me if you want to make a donation. And all I'm using the money for is just to help manage and promote, and YouTube's offered me a deal. There's 800 million videos on YouTube, and you know where these videos go, obviously nowhere. So if you can help get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world, that's up to you. Listen, let's go to Acts chapter 17, and we have a live studio audience here today. Tammy, how's it going?
Great.
Sound too excited. Tammy kind of rolled in late last night, so she's not fit for the cameras. Anyways, here we go. Right, Tammy?
That's not accurate.
I love you, Tammy. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 17. And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Where's Thessalonica anyway? Well, you can't see the map because the sun's on it. You know, we're talking the Balkan Islands. It's really cool to go and get a map of where Paul tripped around and where the apostles tripped around to see, you know, where it is today. Like, everything's still there. Okay, let's get on with this. Synagogue of the Jews, that means they had a church there. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Okay, so we're talking about the Jews here. Are we talking about people of Brother Judah, the genealogy of Brother Judah? No, we're talking about people that came from the land of Judea. That's why it's an adjective here. It's a trait noun, and this word Jews means the lead clergy and the followers that were obviously hostile towards the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers. Look what they're going to do in this very chapter. It's a descriptive term to describe these people. Okay, so they came from the land of Judea. They set up churches. That's fair enough. And we know what their churches were. And Paul's going to tell us here, and he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, not from a commentary, not from someone's sermon. Open the book and let it speak for itself is what's being said here. Now, here we go. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this is Jesus, Yeshua Messiah, who I preach unto you is Christ, the anointed one. Now, remember Paul dogged Mark back in Acts 15:38. Says, where was he? Where was he? And him and Barnabas got in this big argument over Mark. Well, here is Paul quoting from Mark chapter 7, verse 34 in this key word here, very interesting, opening. That's where Paul got this word. And that was Jesus Christ, when he was teaching, said, Ephphatha, be open. Receive the power of hearing the Lord. Open your hearts, the ears, the eyes. Now, Ephphatha is an Aramaic was Hebrew as it was developed during and after the captivity in Babylon. That's fine, okay, when we say Aramaic. So if you look up that word for yourself, this is the word opening here. It's an in-depth word, only used twice in the Bible. It's a simile for circumcision, to cut away something of an unwanted quality. What is blocking you from hearing, from opening your heart and ears to the word of the Lord, your Savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your Redeemer? He's the only one that can grant you judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven. The only one that can forgive you for your sins. So who I preach unto you, Jesus Christ, opening and alleging. That means I'm presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to you because they denied the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe that this had come to pass yet. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas because they went through the scriptures. They weren't just blabbermouths. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Okay, this is good. Chief women, and then we're going to go in this chapter, honorable women. I don't know if this chief woman means bossy women or just they were just good, solid, you know, women. That's what I would think. What, Tammy? What?
They're leaders.
Yeah, they're leaders. Chief women. Like, their people look up to these women, right? Okay. But the Jews which believe not moved with envy, and there you go again. Who can stand against jealousy in the book of Proverbs, you can't. You can't stand against people that are jealous against you. And God considers slander, which is the heart of jealousy. That's the motivation behind jealousy. It thrills a messed up mind. Slander, making something up against somebody. God considers slander, murder, Ezekiel chapter 28. But the Jews who believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. There's a lot said here. This word lewd is poneros. Remember, in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, the first vial, kakos poneros, it's an evil, evil sore right on your soul. Poneros means their actions. Evil actions right on your soul. They have the mark of the beast in them. That means their thoughts are intense, their actions are against the truth. Fellow of the baser sort, the basic mass instinct of morally corrupt people rules the world today. It leads us into an ethically corrupt system of governing ourselves. Obviously, now, there's nothing new under the sun as far as people's character are concerned. And gathered a company. This literally means a mob scene. They raised a public disturbance, and an uproar is like we witnessed this mob mentality during the COVID-19. We witnessed how limited intelligence, how simple they got. They couldn't think critically or independently. They just got on this mob scene, and now we have to live with the, you know, what happened with that. Everybody going and lining up and getting the, you know, that shot in the arm. It's so unfortunate. But you have to think for yourself. You can't allow these people to change your religious authority. It's to change it. You know, they do this to persuade public opinion. Gathered an uproar and assaulted. They converged on the house of Jason and sought to bring him out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason. This is dragged him. They dragged him right out of his house. There's Jason just chilling at home, you know, sitting around a pair of boxer shorts, watching cartoons, having a bowl of Lucky Charms. Who is Jason anyway? He's like, what's going on here? Gets dragged right out of his house. Well, I think Jason, and I'll stand by this, is the same Jason, cousin of Paul, Romans chapter 16:21. He's just minding his own business, right? This mob scene comes up and drag him out of the house. Drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, and this is what they said. They have turned the world upside down like a bunch of drama queens. This is like special interest right here. There's nothing new under the sun as far as human character is concerned. And they've turned the world upside down and are come hither also. Like, they're here, that's what they're here to do, just to ruin everything. Who Jason hath received, okay, so they used to hang out there and, you know, study the Bible and eat together and, you know, fellowship together. And these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there's none other king than one Jesus. That's high treason. You know, it's because when Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but not of, how did he say that in John 18? You know, it's just Paul proclaiming the Messiah. And he spoke these words, and now these people are just looking for any little tidbit to use against him, saying, oh, Jesus Christ is king? Well, he's not even walking there right now. Caesar is king. Remember, Jesus Christ said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city, and they heard these things. So this is the same sinister attempt to raise a charge of high treason against Jesus Christ and his followers here. And high treason is a big thing. You know, it's a death sentence. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. This security means bail. And did they charge him with anything? Or was this just a mob scene? Anyways, they put him in jail and they got bail and they're back out. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So they just going from one church to another. They just gave up on this town. They exhausted their caregiver, these people. You're on your own, man. And that's what God says about these people. Shake the dust off if you're hanging around heathen people all the time. And they have no point. Like they have, their argument is always predictable. It always contradicts itself. And then they have to go to the baser sort of their mentality, insult, shame, villainize, lie against you, mock you, discredit you. The list goes on. And that's what they did. For anybody that knew anything about pharmaceutical interventions that were used in the last couple years, they just got mocked. Boy, what did these people have? It's the same as the people recently. Their argument never holds up to closer scrutiny. All they have is major media has trained these people to throw out one of their pre-approved catchphrases, and this is the lead clergy of the time, the same thing. Let's just make something up, and we're going to throw it at them. That's slander. It's the same thing today and back then, you know. And brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Get out of here. These guys are going to come kill you. They're going to make stuff up. You're going to be in jail forever, and they're going to hold you up for years. So just get lost, get out. And they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and in them they received the word with readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily with those things were so. That's a big deal here. They talked about things, and they thought about things. They weren't just ready with these mainstream media catchphrases like today, like, Michael, your religion's a crutch. And then they laugh. They get that big glow. The big glow on the mocker's face is always illuminated by their own imaginative criticism. Not even the collective imaginative criticism of the whole heathen planet Earth today. Their own chronic disobedience. Their own, you know what I'm saying. Imaginative criticism, chronic disobedience, persistent unbelief, even though it's right in front of you. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Honorable women, that means solid women. Like Tammy just said, chief women. Like they're not standing there. This is opposite of women that dress like hoes in these yoga pants, put a skirt on, standing there, taking 50 selfies of themselves and then posting a line all day. Are those honorable? I don't think so. I'm calling you out on that. Like have some class. Honorable woman. Then when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached unto Paul at Berea, they came thither and stirred up the people. These are death squads in the name of religion. Like, mind your own business. They left town. They're still hounding them and hounding them. They will do that to you all across the internet, all across the world today. It's the same thing. They're coming after you. Death squads to kill the truth. Who's financing this? The mainstream church just kills the truth. Have you ever gone to a mainstream church and learned the Bible from some inspirational speaker who's using this Bible as your random book of quotes to get money? Do you think your preacher even cares about you? Just look at him someday and just say, I wonder if this guy really cares. You know how he remembers your name? Through check association. That check you write every week, that's the only way they remember you. They're there for a job and for a pension. They just don't care. They're just going through the motions. Be careful about developing emotional attachment to that preacher. If he's not teaching the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, then what's he teaching you? God's not messing around. God's not running a daycare down here. He's going to allow you free will, and he's giving you 100 years or less. Are you going to learn one book to find out how to get back into harmony with the universe? That's totally up to the individual. And they that conducted Paul, I mean, they got him out of there, brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for them to come, because they hung back, as it's written, and it's time to get these guys out of there now. Now, when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and when he saw the whole city given to idolatry, that just means these are people that talk like this. I believe in myself. I believe that all my moral decisions should be the gold standard for all society around the world. I believe in myself, whatever's convenient for me today. No consistent thought pattern, no principled set of beliefs that you're only going to find here. Because mankind is bound by the principles of being human. We have inconsistent thought patterns. So when people say that, you got to watch them. You got to watch what they're doing. Idolatry just means my ideologies should be the gold standard for everybody out there. And they love pointing fingers and discrediting other people and just shaming other people with whatever. They have to fill that inner void, that fear they have. Hey, dude, fate won't negotiate no matter how big of a star you think you are. You're going to die at the most inconvenient time. And God is going to judge you. You're going to meet your maker. And you're going somewhere when you die for an eternity. You're trying to fill an inner void. Now only Jesus Christ can fill that inner void. He is your only fulfillment to fill that lack of fulfillment that you're using by being glued to a screen or whatever you spend your time with. It's totally up to you. God will not violate the principles of free will. You cannot violate the principles of God without consequence. And so here they are. Paul stirred up in him when he saw the whole... He's upset about this. He's looking upon the whole human family like, my heart aches for these people. And me and Tammy talk about this all the time. Like, what's God going to do with all these people? This is so surreal. But it will become for real. There's going to be a great separation of people. And it's permanent. You cannot be forgiven for your sins after you die. And always remember. We'll get to that in a second. Okay? You cannot be forgiven for your sins after you die. It's now or never. Today's the most important day of your life now. Now, when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred. He said, okay, I feel it. I feel for these people walking in darkness. Isaiah chapter 5:30. The whole world, the whole land is walking in darkness. Hardly anybody is going to get themselves out of this. And that's their free will choice. That's on them. Now, people that have no chance, that's different. God is fair. And there's no children in hell either. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, the elite clergy and their followers, and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. So he's having coffees. He's out there. He's getting out there. He's trying to spread the word of God. That's our calling. That's our call to action. Then certain philosophers of Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, textbook here. This is what's going on today. They look at us like, what will this babbler say? And some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Let's go over this. Don't forget, I went to the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy to try and figure out Epicureans. That's Epicurus. Let's go to the word philosophers here. It's philos. It means to associate with. And sophos means people who present themselves as intelligent. Okay, don't be fooled by these people. Orators, expert in their fields, commentators, people that memorize catchphrases to discredit others, analysts, your media influencer. People will sit there and just watch the most trusted name in news. That's my media influencer, and never question it. You're in a cult, and the only cult people never see is the one they're in. And you can only get your exit counseling out of these cults. That's psychological warfare, brainwashing, menticide. Get your exit counseling through our Lord Jesus Christ. Epicurus, I read the summary on this guy, and I'll summarize. It's to pursue pleasure now, no afterlife. Go for it. You'll never find happiness. You'll be constantly pursuing pleasure. It'll never add up to an inner peace, because you know you're going somewhere when you die. You can deny it all you want. You know deep down inside. And the Stoic philosophy, the summary on this from the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, like, I mean, this is hell. If you want to know what hell is, this is it. One that could blabber on for an eternity and never come to a conclusion. Ever. You can have that. All your thoughts and theories and ideologies are going to the hell, and you can sit there and you can just talk forever about nothing. And you have never a conclusion. No certainty, no stability, no security whatsoever. Just, well, I think this, and, you know, just go, oh, that'd just be absolute hell. And I don't wish that on anybody. That's what these philosophies are about. And they call Paul a babbler. And what we're talking about, these simple catchphrases. These people, what have they done? And we know these people today. Calling people names. They're projecting what's inside of them onto other people. Who they are onto other people. It's like, if you ever had someone say, geez, you're so angry. You're not angry at all. Guess who's angry? The person saying that. And guess who these babblers are? They take little scraps of information that they got off their screen from who cares where, whatever media they're watching. Little scraps of information. And believe me, Satan is the schoolmaster of the world. He makes it so easy for these people. Look at safe and effective. Say that. Say that over and over again. Say this over again. Conspiracy theorists, you can remember these little two-syllable, three-syllable phrases, right? Say this. I trust the science. And never read one scientific journal ever. and just sit there and I trust the science because that screen told me to. And I am intelligent. What's worse than someone? Okay, like if you just got someone who's just like harmless, I'm not being patronizing to anybody, but they're just like kind of a simple guy, right? Like good worker, good person. They're all right. That's fine. But when you have someone that's like that, that thinks they're intelligent because they are memorizing these catchphrases from the magistrate of the world, he is the schoolmaster of the world, who's going to tell you what's important, what's not important, what's beautiful, what's not beautiful, what's of value, what's not of value, then those people are the dangerous people. These people are declaring finalities in hypothetical situations. They don't fact check anything. They just get told, we're going to tell you what to think, say, and do. Forget, don't worry about it. Your ability to think critically and independently is over. It's on us now. We'll change your values and beliefs. We'll meta a thought pattern right into your very psyche, the intellect of your soul. We'll meta it in there right into your very thought pattern. I forget what I was going to say. Let's get on here. Okay, so these babblers, we know these people. People today develop emotional attachments to professional babblers off of a screen or behind a pulpit. Professional babblers. And they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, that's just the hill of Mars. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest. Okay, so they're curious. They want to hear it. That's awesome. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we would know, therefore, what these things mean. Hey, they want to hear the Bible. Isn't that awesome? They want to talk about things and think about things. They don't want to just stand there and sit on their moral high horse and try and humiliate everybody and insult them and shame them and lie against them, right? Who didn't live through that during this pandemic? It was hate science, brutal hatred, hostile hatred. And it's still going on. There's some people that still hold that narrative. And we pray for these people. But believe me, they've exhausted their caregiver. They're impossible to hang around anymore. Just impossible. For thou bringest certain strange things. For the atheist, yeah, strange things. The truth is strange to them. The truth, the great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. It's strange to them. So here's Paul. He's going to teach them. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, all day long, but either to tell or to hear something new. Nothing newer than under the sun. That's human character. They're just taking little scraps of information and putting it together in their own ideologies, and that's their moral code. Okay, and what happens? Morals is on the individual. Morals is a benchmark for human value and human virtues. We're watching the moral decay of society today all around us. A morally corrupt society. Morals are personal thought patterns that translate into your intentions and actions. Ethics is a set of institutional standards that collective individuals establish. Their governmental systems that we see today, a 100% failure rate at governing ourselves. God is not going to interfere with this because he's showing us. It's a 100% failure rate. Free will entities simply must be governed. You have to submit to an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender your entire existence over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse me of all these scraps of information. Everything that is offensive to you and your kingdom, and saturate me with your Holy Spirit. That is the truth. You are perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. You are the perfect truth, my Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth will set you free from this construct of planet Earth today. We cannot govern ourselves. You have to admit that. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, which is the same place, Areopagus. You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. That's the people today, based on myth. Irrational thought patterns. God cannot reconcile irrational people. He can only reconcile you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Irrational people can go play somewhere else. They're unprovable. It's delusional. These are like sitting around. You ever sat around with a pot smoker? Like some of them are pretty intelligent until they light a cannon twice the size of this and they blaze the whole thing. And then it's just like, just go into their own world, their own philosophies. And Canada promotes people to smoke marijuana because they want people to get away from the truth. And that's just one example. We're just talking about superstitious based on myth. What is mythology anyway? Just break up that word, mythology. It's just a perversion of ancient truth. They make stuff up and run with it. And if they can get enough little catchphrases in that people can connect with, then it turns into something. For as I passed and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You want to know what God is? God, Yahweh. My Father who art in heaven, sacred is thy name. Yahweh is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through Yeshua Messiah. Let's go back to page one of the Bible. God that made, that prepared the world and all things therein. And people say to me, well, God must have created evil if he created the world. Hey, what mankind did with God's creations is another story. And all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, okay? He's not physical matter. He's energy. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. We can only see physical matter right now. We can't see God in the spirit. It's right there just beyond our current understanding and perception of physics. All the other two-thirds of the angels are just standing there watching us and looking at everything we're doing, going, there's not a chance in hell these people are coming back to the kingdom of heaven. And every time one of us repents and means it, we've had a change of heart and attitude towards the sin itself, they all rejoice. They want their brothers and sisters back. Look how much it hurts God. It's Isaiah chapter 22. He's like crying. He's crying. He says, I have to send these people to the hell side. They don't want nothing to do with me anyway. There's no praise and presence of God in their psyche, their spirit, the intellect of their soul, their character, their personality. It doesn't exist. You don't want God in your life now, then he's putting you a place where you can be comforted. It's called the lake of fire, and you'll be comforted there in the nether parts of the earth. There is no praise or presence of God there whatsoever. Lake just means harbor or haven, and fire, the definition of the fire of hell is in James 3 and Isaiah chapter 9. It's the internal passion of the mind, your burning emotions. You think you're right all the time. God had to widen the borders on hell itself because people's egos are so ginormous and there's so many people going there and it hurts God to send them there. But he can't allow them back into the kingdom of heaven or it would be nothing more than a new hell that we're living through right now. God made the world. Not made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything. Listen, man, does God need anything? Don't kid yourself. God doesn't need you. He wants his children back, but he doesn't need you. So be very careful when you get on your high horse and think, oh boy, I got some things to say to God. When I see Jesus Christ, there's some things in here I don't like. Well, you can take those attitudes and your ideologies of what you think governmental perfection is, and you can go to the nether parts of the earth, and you can, nekam in the Hebrew, it's an onomatopoeic word. You're comforted there because that's what you like doing now. You like the perpetual drama, and you like the constant disorder and chaos and distrust and pandemonium. You like it. Or you would submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you won't do it. These people, we pray for them. You can go play somewhere else. You've exhausted your caregiver. You had every chance to learn one book. And if you decide that's your free will choice, you don't like what's in this book, fine. God says, fine. You're hurting my feelings so bad. But you can go play somewhere else in that lake of fire, that harbor or haven of all your burning passions and emotions and the internal passion of the mind. You can have it. All your ideologies, you can have it. You can't come back to the kingdom of heaven because you can't be trusted. You fell out of harmony with the universe and you don't want to address what is inside you that is not conducive to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And Jesus Christ will give you the way out. Seeing, he giveth all life and breath to all things. He is the creator of all things. In the beginning, wisdom was there before the first Adam was formed on the highest part of the dust of the earth. When the whole universe was a pulverized dust, God is lightness. No, hey, I became a consciousness. I started creating through wisdom, not chaos. And he hath made one blood of all nations, of all men, to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That's the human family, one third of us that fell. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to verse 18. He prepared his children. It's also really in detail described in Psalms chapter 90. You have to go there. You get 100 years or less to come to terms with what's inside of you that made you fall out of harmony with the universe. You can't be trusted. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can forgive you for your sins at a judicial level that is universally recognized to grant you judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven. Not even. It's the Millennium Temple. We still have to get cleaned up for 1,000 years. We still have a lot to go through before we can go back to the eternal temple of our Father who art in heaven. He doesn't need us, but he wants us back on his conditions. You're not going to go there and make up your conditions. You can if you want, but you can go to the lake of fire and you can knock yourself out. Have a great time. Who cares? And I've made one blood that we're all part of the human family. That's what's being said here. Okay. And they should seek the Lord if happily That means through your free will, you might feel after him. You might be in you. It's either in you or it's not in you. And some people, me and Tammy talk about this all the time. It's like, well, these people like closest to us, they just don't care. It's just not in them. And it's almost condescending. It's almost patronizing when they go, oh, you guys have done 500 episodes? That's so good. That's so good. Don't be patronizing to me. You haven't even watched one, right? I would know because you would talk about it. You want to talk about this? No, you're too busy for the Bible. You have too many better things to do. Where are you right now? On some golf course in California? Who knows where you are? It's like all about self-interest, overfed, unconcerned, just self-occupation. What's in it for me? What do people say to me and Tammy? Oh, we're too busy to study the Bible. We don't have time. You don't have time for God now. He doesn't got time for you later. And you can take all those important things that you were doing to hell with you. All your ideologies, take them to hell with you. And knock yourself out. Like you've exhausted your caregiver. Me and Tammy talk about Ezekiel chapter 44. Like we have an opportunity to go across the Gulf to get relatives. I'm like, are we going to even want to? Like that sounds so cold. And it makes me so upset. But where are they right now when they have all the opportunities now to study and to submit with an unquestioning obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand there is nothing more important than where you go when you die. What possibly is more important than where you go when you die? Nothing. This is such a short little time frame right now. And everything is hinging on what you're doing right now. Your thoughts, your intents, your actions. That they should seek the Lord, feel after him, and find him. Yeah, he's not hiding. It's up to you. Though he be not far from every one of us. Yeah, he's right there. He's right there. His outstretched arms are always there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never put more on you than you can handle. It's like, why does it say in the Bible, God only chastises those he loves and give thanks for chastisement? Because God knows how much affliction you need to humble for the eternity. You got to get it out of you. You have to be brutally, brutally honest with yourself. You don't deserve nothing. We didn't deserve life. He didn't have to send his only begotten son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Full well knowing. He's going to walk into a torture chamber. And the most humiliating, brutal death. Imagine getting, okay, I full well know that my darling soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, most precious in the universe, first and most important in the universe, is going to walk down there and the religious community is going to facilitate him getting nailed to a board. Take the lowest earthly position for you and because of you. He did that for you and because of you. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He gave you a way out. It's the only way to forgive sin was if one died for us. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, who is innocent, not guilty. No sin penetrated the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more Satan could have done to him. He said, Satan, you got nothing on me, Satan. You got nothing on me. It is done. The ministry of salvation doors are now open for whomsoever will. It's up to you. What are you doing with your time? Oh, I don't have time for this, Michael. Okay, well then, you've exhausted your caregiver and it's starting to find a huge disconnect between, the closer you get to God and everybody else. You just have to determine for yourself, like, how far are you going to chase people? Like, not even. Don't even bother. Don't cast your pearls before swine. It's either in you or it's not in you. For him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Listen, we're all God's children. Okay, just keep it simple here. He's trying to be a philosopher to these guys. Don't worry about it. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone engraved. Okay, it's not physical matter. God is spirit, okay? And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Don't push it because people didn't know any better. Don't push it now. There's no forgiveness for sin after you die. What about Hebrews 10:26? This is a big verse, man. This is very, very daunting. This is the word of God. And if you don't believe this, then you think Jesus Christ is a liar because he is the living word. He came in the volume of the book. He is the perfect truth. For this, Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for your sins. You can't be trusted. You know better. That is one of the most daunting verses in the whole Bible. Solemn, daunting warnings in Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2. Pretty much the whole chapter is the same thing. Verses 20 to 22, pretty much the same thing. Those that turn their ear away from hearing God's law, God's instructions, even your prayers will be an abomination to him. What are you bothering praying for? If you don't like what you're reading here, you don't like it, then don't even bother praying. God, there's a whole thread through the Bible about rejected prayers. Don't push it. Don't think God's going to, like it says here, times of ignorance. Okay, you didn't know. People in North Korea, they don't know. What do they know? Nothing, right? Their ticket's stamped into heaven through oppression. What about that fat turd dictator they got there? I think I pretty much know where he's going to go, but I'm not judge. Hopefully he repents. God winked at it, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent through the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his only begotten son. It's the greatest sacrifice in the history of the universe. That it's okay, because he hath appointed a day the which he will judge the world. Jesus Christ will judge the world in righteousness, in perfect righteousness, perfect trustworthiness, by the perfect truth, by that man, Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, he set him aside to do just this thing, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Okay? That says it all right there. I don't need to say anything else. And when he had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, because it's beyond your current understanding of physics. You're going to have to get over it. Some mocked. Lots of people mocked. People mocked today. And others said, we will hear this again, this matter. These are the good people. They want to think about it. Wow, this is something new. The art of conversation here. We're going to talk about this. We're going to think about this, right? We're not just going to stand, oh, I have never heard that before. That's stupid, right? Or, you know what? I watched a documentary. You should see these documentaries I watch, Michael. It totally blows the Bible out of the water. Like, that's stupid. Okay. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysus and Areopagite and a woman named Demarius and others with them. Well, there's Acts chapter 17. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly enjoy bringing it to you. I want you to have the greatest day, and bye for now.